What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
Hey, Black History Month. Okay, how it go? What's the national anthem? The Black History National Anthem.
Lift every voice.
Lift every voice and sing. Edmonton, your part.
I'm not saying lift every voice.
What are you going to sing? You got a black hymn?
I don't have no black hymn.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water.
Edmonton. No, that's not sing those type of songs.
Oh, you don't want to. You don't want to go back to the slave plantation.
No, that's where everybody always goes. That's something that I've been tarnished by the black community, black community with that. Because they say, you know, well, they be having these people sing these slave hymns. And if you listen to the lyrics, they ain't good. Right. They ain't talking about no prosperity. They talking about how they living bad. And so.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud.
Okay.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud.
You know what, though? Speaking of music like that, it's not... You know what I thought to listen to today, though? Because somebody was playing it. It's some new challenge. It's a hair challenge, I guess. They have new challenges, like, every
oh,
second.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a new one challenge where they do different hairstyles. Like, all the black women do all these different black, like, or, like, urban-ish-looking hairstyles. And one girl did it, and she was playing Beyonce. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I need to listen to the Beyonce. I think it's the not the actual Lion King soundtrack one, but the actual album that she came out that Tina was complaining about. Because I was like, listen to the lyrics of the song that the girl was playing. I was like, this is actually pretty positive. It's actually my jam. I was like, maybe, you know, I wasn't, don't shoot me, Beehive. I wasn't necessarily a fan of Lemonade like that. So I guess I just didn't even give this one a chance. But I'm like, but this one that everybody else probably ain't feeling, I probably actually gonna like this one. Because the lyrics of it, I was just like, oh, it didn't make me feel like, you know, I think it's just very empowering.
I think like a lot of black youth really got into this, her last album, the Lion King, like children and stuff.
Oh, they did.
Because, well, the visual on Disney, but then, like you said, the music, and then having Blue Ivy on Brown Skin Girl.
Yeah.
But even the turn up, those African beats, like, oh, that, you play that album, some of them songs, you get turned up.
Oh, well, no, it was, because in this song, no, this wasn't a kid-friendly song, because she was talking about something, I am something motherfucking, or something like that. I heard Jay Hearn, Jay-Z talking about, I ain't gonna motherfucking dead. I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay. But it was still inspiring. Like, okay, I'm gonna have to really, so that's on my to-do list, and maybe I'll do it tonight, is just start listening to that, because I think that, I think it'd be pretty good. But anyway, I don't have any black songs. I'm just thinking about Beyonce and that one. Yeah,
well, happy Black History Month. We'll be talking throughout the next couple episodes, I mean, because, you know, we black all year round.
Oh yes, for sure.
But what are they listening to, Emerson?
What works for us?
All black,
all queer.
Throwing my black fist up for every black woman and man and person on this earth. This is your time. I'm just saying. I don't know. I just love. I mean, it is dramatic to be acting all like we're supposed to really be so celebratory.
It's okay, because though.
But it is okay because it is, because you see it a lot more. And yeah, it doesn't remind you to celebrate your blackness. You know, so I, you know, and of course they've been doing, oh my God, the Whitney and Bobby meme.
Oh, I put that one on my page. You know I did.
You did?
I put that on mine, the actual video.
Okay.
And Whitney was like, it needs to be a longer month.
A month. Then she looked right, like, you get what I'm saying. Right. And then Bobby, oh, Lord, he just kept on going. She's like, okay, shh, shh, shh. Right. Oh. You know, shout out to Whitney Houston. You know, she is still so missed.
Yeah, she really is.
I look at her old stuff, and I'm like, she was so beautiful. That was a beautiful black woman. Mm-hmm. Like, her face was just so structurally. And I don't, you know, I'm not been trying to get into all these Anglo perception of beauty. I get it. Mm-hmm. But if we were using those, you know, as a measurement of beauty, baby, she was she was up there. She was flawless in her voice and, you know, and just her impact. There would never be another Whitney Houston, and that's point blank, period. And I'm still advocating for them to do a real Whitney Houston movie, like on the big screen, no documentary, no Lifetime. I think she is worthy.
She definitely is.
A full throttle, $100 million budget movie.
And I can't even believe, like, it just goes to show how people in money, when money come into play, and just they take whatever's thrown at them. Like, we was just talking about this with, like, Escape or TLC. We just talking about how, like, you know, these, you have to, like I say with Shanti, you have to, the artist actually needs to be cocky, and whoever's a part of their estate, they have to be, you know, have a certain standard when it comes to that person's brand. You can't just accept whatever check they throw at you. Oh, Lifetime want to do, oh, okay, we're going to, no, that's, she's not a Lifetime movie person.
Yeah, how would that even get passed?
Right.
How'd that even get approved?
Why they would accept that. That's what I'm saying. They getting these little, you know, Lifetime $100,000 checks, and it's like, that's the bitch, please. Goodbye. If it were me, if I was Whitney Houston, or if I was part of, if I was part of her estate, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Holler at me when Lion Gate calls me with the budget.
Okay, with the budget.
Okay.
To the theater. I mean, you know, Catch 22 now, the theater thing, but the budget still could be the same.
Oh, yeah, the budget definitely.
The quality of movie can still be the same. So, Emerson, you know what time it is.
Time to check in. I guess I go this week. Don't, before you even, I'm trying to cut your ass off.
I see. Oh, my God. Don't be rude. Oh, well, my God. Who to home training just thrown out the window for a check-in? Go ahead.
I don't think so. I just didn't want to have the conversation. I mean, I would, well, let me not say the same thing.
Please don't.
Well, my birthday's in less than a week.
Okay. My God. You're getting older by the minute. How does it feel?
Well, I don't have the same disease as you, so I don't have a problem with it. I feel like as I get older, older I get, the juicier I get, and I'm here for it. So
the same disease that made you have to soak your feet last night?
That was just because I was on my feet for 6 hours.
No, you just getting up there.
That has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. I didn't say I was in pain. I just said I soaked my feet. So I was just giving my feet the treatment that they need because I'm juicy and I treat my body like a temple, or the temple that it is. So, yeah, after me standing on my feet and get that type of pressure, yeah, I'm going to soak them.
I got a question for you about this juicy. Can you be 18 and juicy?
You could be juicy at any age.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're maintaining it. That's the whole thing. You're maintaining your juiciness. So that's why you have to do things to maintain it. So, yeah. No, I don't feel any kind of way, especially after listening to that, you had me listen to that Clubhouse conversation yesterday.
I was just thinking about it when I brought that up to the girl. It was like, how old are you? She was like, well, I'm not 18. It was like, okay, 19? Like, girl, you don't sound grown with your responses.
No.
But what did she say, the freakiest thing she ever did?
She ate a girl out on her period.
Yeah. And then they immediately like, how old are you? Right. Like, they were like, girl, that the freakiest thing you ever did.
I was over it. I was over it even before then. And when she said that, I was like, well, this is the type of people that they're attracting in this room. That's why I kept on asking, like, how old are these people? How old are these people? Because even the topic, like, wasn't the topic of the room, like, the freakiest sexual, or wasn't it something to that nature?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
Right. We heard the other one, too. What was the other one listening to? The baby mama was asking baby daddy's questions.
Yeah. That one wasn't as bad, because, I mean, I guess, but still, once they start talking, I'm like, oh my God.
But it was funny because she was like, I got two baby daddies. And it just, like, when you say baby mama, baby daddy, it just sounds so some kind of way. It's so funny.
It does.
And they talk about it like it's just nothing. And every time I hear baby mama, I go back to B-A-B-Y-M-A-M-A. This goes out to all my baby mamas. Fantasia sung that damn song like she was singing the Star Spangled Banner about baby mama's baby. Like, whoo, she was like, baby, she was loving the baby mamas. But go ahead, you'll check in. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you good. My birthday's in less than, I don't really, it's my 37th day. It's the kickoff to my journey to queendom. So I don't really have any, but I don't have anything like spectacular. It's just a kickoff. So, I don't, you know, with the, you know, panoramic and all this kind of stuff going on, panoramic. Some people call it a panoramic. Some people call it a pandoramic. There's all different names for the pandemic.
Oh, Lord. Y'all so petty.
but I don't have anything particularly planned for it. But I'm grateful that I'm about to be
having a house party. Well,
keep saying that.
And guys, when we say party, it's probably going to be me, him, and Kristen Dior.
Yeah.
But we're going to have food and drinks, and we turn it up in this bitch.
Okay. Well, but that's it as far as that go. And I guess I could talk about this. We haven't talked about it, but Mr. Telltales was my first pro bono client.
Woo!
Yes, for my style coaching services. It definitely have been, it's been a big education. Like, we were just talking about it offline, and I was just saying how the do is in the doing as far as when you do that kind of work. Like, now I know, like, when these entrepreneurs and stuff be going off or going in or saying what they say online, now I always did get it, but they always be saying, you know, you got to do the work. You got to start working with people. That's when you're going to really get your information. And I knew this, but, you know, sometimes you be so scared. You be like, you just keep on doing busy work. But now it's like, okay, no. It's almost like I want more people because I want more data. It's like I want more information. I want more. I want to get in people's heads and more, because it was just so interesting just seeing, going through people's clothes and like reading people's mind through their, like the psychology of how people buy clothes or how Mr. Telltale buys clothes. First of all, he has a lot of clothes. He has more clothes than me. Now, that don't mean that I don't even think, I guess I don't have that many clothes, but he has a lot of clothes. And just going through them and just seeing how he, his like buying patterns of how he buys stuff, and just, I just figured out so much information as far as like just him particularly. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people like you who, you know, like I was saying, visibility. It's important to have, I think for certain people, it's important that they can see everything that they have, because if they were able to see everything that they have, it can prevent them from going out shopping all the time every time they got to go and do something, because they can just see everything they have in their closet. But I think when you have stuff like tucked away here, tucked away there, put up here, put it behind this, behind that, and it's not visible, it makes it more difficult to shop your closet. So, and that would be another reason why it's kind of important to not only have everything visible, and this is, don't take offense, I'm just saying that it helps also when your closet is like organized, because then once it's organized, you can see everything, everything's out, and it makes it more easier for you to shop your own closet, and it makes it not less of a task, because somebody like Mr. Telltales, I just know how he is. He likes stuff fast. He don't want to have to go through stuff like that. So instead of dealing with the chaos of going through a whole bunch of stuff, I'd just rather buy something new. I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah, it's easier. I agree with you. Like, that's what I was asking yesterday, and then I will hope at the end of this you give me some tips about how to maintain a closet, because that's, like, that was my closet on its best behavior. I kind of straightened it up for you. So you can imagine what it can really look like.
Well, right.
You know, and so, but it started when Will came. And that's when I really did a overhaul over it.
Yeah.
And where, so most of that was like that, but I still had to, because half of my closet is usually on my bed. So, or my closet floor right there. So, yeah, so it was just interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, but yeah, you know, I want to respond, because it was just different having somebody, like, from my perspective.
Yeah.
It was just really fun and interesting to have. Like, I don't think I've ever experienced that with somebody. No one, like, people see what I wear, or people have been with me shopping.
Yeah.
But not even my closest boyfriend has literally, like, went through my closet. You know what I'm saying? Not just going through it, but we went through it, like, piece by piece. Mm-hmm. And it was conversation. Like, I didn't even know just my clothes. Excuse me, told so many stories.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh my God, but I got that, or I got that. Ooh, I had that a long time. Right. Or it was like bringing back memories. It was like, oh, that is kind of cute.
Yeah.
It was a vulnerable state to be in.
Yeah.
But also creative, and like, it inspired me to really want to care about fashion even more.
Yeah, well, and that's good though, because then I think that's what it should do. And I know Tyreek, so of course, I still don't think I was like it's like a non-judgment zone. Like, I might say stuff, like, I was making fun of him. I'm like, oh, this print again, or this print, or this, or we know you like this print, or like, oh, I'm not, like, you got a lot of this, you know what I'm saying? But it was still, for me, it was still, I'm just downloading. I'm just like, okay, wow, this is what, it's almost like I was going, like you say, it's a vulnerable moment for you, but it's almost like I was going into your head, like, when you shop, because I'm like, okay, clearly, this is what he goes to. This is his safe space. He's like, okay, I'm going to do this shit, and that's why you have so much of this, because you know you can do this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, in my head, I was like, I'm going to push him to the limit and not do any of certain things. Certain things, like, I know is like, okay, yeah, I know with this, and I know he liked this, but it's certain things I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take him out of his comfort zone, because I seen, obviously, what your comfort zone was. So I think that's so good to go through. That's why that is an important process when you actually do a style consultation. You have to go, it just teaches, it gives you so much information. It's a big download. Like today, like I was even more sluggish, not because you were tiring. It was just because I downloaded so much information. It mm-hmm. was like my brain was just like, it was still processing. So yeah, it's, I appreciate Tyreek being my first pro bono client. And I'm not, another good thing about it was, it's not something I feel like I want to run away from. Like, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes people do something like, I don't want to do this shit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. I was just like, I want to do this more. Because mm-hmm. I want to see what, I kind of want to, I have a curiosity now, like of people's buying patterns. Mm-hmm. Like that might be a thing for me. Like, well, I can see how a person shops this way. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that's what that's for. But yeah, no, that was definitely cool. First person I've done outside of myself, my own closet. And it was cool. I only touched one unmentionable.
Okay, I was like, ooh, oh my god,
So no, it was cool. But in real life, though, I'm gonna be doing this like virtually, mm-hmm. Unless you know a client has coin and they want to, you know, they want to get fluid out and something like that, and they paying for it. Then okay, I can come if you gonna pay for it. But okay. Other than that. It'll be virtual, so it'll be more so them doing it, but we'll have to figure it out. And like you were saying, you know, do cocktails and stuff like that. But for that process, I probably won't. But then, of course, like next time, you're one where they'll be virtual. So, mm-hmm. You know, we can do cocktails and do music, and that's the funnest day.
That's the funnest day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that for me, it opened my eyes to the service. It opened my eyes to centering your clothes because it's such a important part of you. Mm-hmm. We really don't focus on it. Like, we focus on it, meaning we have to wear clothes to wherever the event is. We really don't focus on the actual art of, you know, buying or the art of fashion within your own closet, right? Mm-hmm. I've never looked at it like that ever. Ever have I ever looked at all my clothes? Not one time in my life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think the service is really good because it allows you to center something that's important in your life. Like you were saying, like the whole point of what you're doing is for like public speakers or people that's in a spotlight in some kind of way. They don't even understand how important clothes is. They understand it on the back end. I mean, like you have to look a certain way. Right. You have to be prepared and all of that. But they're not really centering it in a way of art or in a way of kind of like a healing or therapeutic kind of way. Like your clothes, your closet is so personal to you. So we talk about like self-care, right? Like maybe that's something you do. Spend time in your closet. Like outside of just being a fashion person, but just a person who got clothes because you bought all that stuff. That is your stuff.
It's your stuff.
That's a part of who you are because, like you said, those patterns are there. It's psychological. Mm-hmm. It's emotional because you probably bought stuff out of how you felt.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's historical. It's going to remind you of why you bought it, where you wore it. And it's just it's like going through old pictures in a kind of way. And, so I think I recommend it for anybody to actually do that, like take to center that and think of it as self-care, but also a form of art at the same time. So, yeah, it was fun. It's been fun so far. Can't wait to the runway show and everything.
Yeah, the runway, I think at this point, isn't looking nothing but up. To me, that was probably going to be the hardest part. Like mm-hmm. the runway day, because it helped. Because when you do it as far as the perspective of working with a style coach or something like that, that is the time where our heads are kind of combined. It's like, we're kind of like, okay, you told me what it is. We've done this, but I haven't really, you told me, we've defined what's going on with you. Like at first, you know, we had defined what your style personality is and all kind of stuff, mm-hmm. all this stuff for you. That point in time when I'm looking through your clothes, then it's the time where it's kind of, my head has to come into the play as far as, okay, well, what am I about to do mm-hmm. with you? Yeah. That's kind of what it is. What am I about to do with you?
Yeah.
Because based off what you have, what do you have that, which direction I'm going, which way I'm going to go, how can I do this in a way that you're on board, I'm on board, and da-da-da. And we didn't really go into it. I guess I didn't go into too much depth about it, but at the end of the day, when I got home, I was like, I'm about to rock Tyreek's world because I'm about to get him out of my whole thing was this, get him out of his comfort zone. Cause I think it, you know, it's just certain things based on his buying patterns that I was able to see. And I'm like, okay, I just got to get him to the other side. So where you can go in your closet and I feel like everybody should go in their closet and it be a harmonious experience. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be something where it's just like, oh, and you know,
what am I going to wear today?
Or yeah, closet, like somebody I follow, another stylist, she did a reel on Closet Rage, And she was like, closet rage is a real thing. And you know, she was somebody who went in the closet and was just like, you know, like screaming and cussing and throwing shit around. And I'm like, that is a real thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said with you, I got so much like insight ideas, even for stuff like that, like the closet. The closet is a very important part of this whole thing.
I need a big closet.
Yeah.
I need a big closet. Yeah. But remember I was telling you, I said I'm busting out in the scenes with clothes, like even my dresser drawers is just,
yeah,
like you have, yeah, you open my eyes to a lot of stuff. So yeah, oh, well, give me a big closet.
Yeah, you need. Well, I saw a walk in, I was, you know, because I'll be looking at real estate porn on Instagram, and one came up around my desk, and it was this closet. It was a guy's closet, and it was like all like it was all open. Everything was open. It was all glass, and everything was open. I was like, yeah, this is some shit Tyreek need, because you could see everything, mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's the point. And I'm pretty sure if I was talking to a closet organizer, they would probably, which I want to talk to now, I'm like, okay, so where do you find people with their closets, and why do y'all have them set up the way they are? Because I was like, sometimes you can't see everything, and now I see the reason why. Because if you don't see it, it's not there, and you might just be spending a lot of money on stuff that you already have. Just, you know, just because you don't feel like dealing with all that, I don't feel like dealing with all that shit, just me just buy something new, and then just, you know, whatever.
Move on.
So, yeah.
So, not that bad.
Right. But that's, that was an experience. It was great. Everything was great with that. And I can't wait until, well, now the work, as far as the process goes, now all the work's on me. But I've already said what I'm going to do. And next for Tyreek and I will be runway day. So, yeah, I'm ready to hit the ground running with that. So, that's that on
that. Talking all that stuff, let me see if you can walk. Baby, let me walk.
Yes, is so many people using that?
Walk, yeah. He hit a lick with that one, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I think we played it on our show, didn't we?
Yeah, you did. You started with one day.
See, we know what's hot over here and what works for us. Because that song works for us. So.
Okay.
All the girls are walking that. Even the housewives. I thought Kenya do it. I was just like, really?
Okay.
And, you know, shout out to Kenya, 50 years old. She looks so good. You know, like, I mean, duh. But I don't know, just like to see her actually on the other side of 50 now and looking like she was and on the beach or whatever she was at. But I was thinking about, my gosh, she got that little baby. That got to be a lot of work. She 50, water around that little baby. That baby going to keep her on her toes.
So is Janet.
Yeah.
So
I think Janet might have a lot more help. Though.
Oh, well,
no
clear.
Shade.
Right. That's
you know?
Oh, well, right. No, you're right. Because Kenya was on an interview with Candy talking about, I don't have any help. You know, and now her and Mark is actually getting a divorce. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So that's what I was thinking. Like, girl, no, she was baby, changing diapers, all types of stuff.
Okay.
Brooklyn. But shout out to Kenya Moore, the D-Town, Miss USA, the 5-0. You know, her and Emerson is pretty close in age.
Actually, we're not.
Was that your check-in?
Yeah, I'm done.
You got quiet. So I guess I got an announcement. Since Emerson was saying that the thing's going to be virtual. But I am kind of, a little bit, sort of, going to be splitting my time between my current location of Austin, Texas, and my location in North Carolina. So you can read between the lines. I don't know what that means for some, but so yeah, so I'm basically, I'm relocating-ish. So whatever. So what you got to say? You making these faces. I've never said it, but I think now that I've actually put in my 2 week at my particular job, even though, you know, it might be remote, but now I can actually say it because I couldn't say it before because I wanted to be getting back fan. Oh, Tyreek, you know, no.
Right.
But it's the only part, it's only, I'm going to be, you know, in Texas and in North Carolina. You know, me and my partner, we, you know, we're just moving forward. I'm not saying that we're moving in together. This is all a transitional period. We kind of moving in together, right? I guess that is moving in together, kind of, sort of. But, so I just wanted to share that with y'all. So y'all going to be listening to that, I guess, moving forward. I also got another announcement in a couple of weeks that I'm going to put on the show, but not today, Emerson. But, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, so maybe around that time. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm kind of nervous. You know, I've been living in Austin, 9 years? Oh my God, it's almost been a decade.
Yeah, too long for you.
But I love Austin. That's what makes it so weird. Like, y'all know I've talked about Austin the way I do, But Austin has been so great to me in a way, and that I just can't just completely let go. Like, I'm just too rooted here, you know? So I think this will always be a base for me because of what's in the mirror, my family, best friend, friends. But I'm willing to keep expanding that, right? So I think, you know, yeah, but, you know, my partner doesn't live here. So I would love to hear a lot. We should have more conversation. I want to love maybe if I can invite somebody on the show to talk about long-distance relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what their advice is. They come on the show and give me some advice. Even though I've been in that,
yeah.
But the transition from long distance to not long distance. Because I don't know, you know, my closet space and bathroom space. But this is all in the process. So the reason I wanted to talk about it on my check-in, because I wanted to just give y'all a heads up that this is something that's going to evolve for me on the show.
Yeah.
So y'all can, Edmonton, you are free to free range to ask the questions, because I know you be having, well, how y'all going? So go ahead. It's open. I am slightly relocating to North Carolina. So boom, that's one of my things. So I did put in my 2-week notice in. Employment and so with that being said, I'm still in Austin working virtual. I still be going to do a peer support virtually, and what's in the mirror virtually. So I'm just going to ride the virtual wave that everybody else ride. What else is going on with me? Am I missing something? This has been a regular week. Nothing happened this week. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't, you know. Yeah. I guess that's my check-in. I'm trying to think what else happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if I watched anything special. I finished Grey's Anatomy. I'm on season 17, so I'm already up to whatever the new episode. So I watched 16 seasons and 6 episodes in 2 months.
Crazy.
Of Grey's Anatomy. And I am so proud. It is, even watching it, I love it. It's still not my top 5 shows of all time. You know what I'm saying? I liked it, and I see why people liked it, but it doesn't hold a candle to Gilmore Girls or Felicity or Sex in the City or A Different World. Those are classics. That's my check-in. So I know Edmonton, we was talking offline. By the time this episode come out, it's going to be National HIV AIDS Awareness Day. National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day, which is February 7th, which is Edmonton's birthday. Mm-hmm. and so I definitely wanted to talk about it just to give y'all a recap, because I think about... I was just telling Edmondson that actually our episode, I think it was episode 41. No, I don't know, episode 31. I don't know. The episode we did entitled Living with HIV has been our most listened to episode. And Edmondson didn't even know that.
Yeah, I guess I forgot. Brian Fisher, you told me.
And so the reason why that's important for me, because that was around the time, and I used that episode to actually come out publicly around my status. And so I recently...
It was almost exactly a year ago.
It was almost exactly
a year. It was on my birthday.
It was on your birthday. What episode was that?
39.
Episode 39, Living with HIV. And so that is our biggest episode. You guys really supported us during that episode. Came through, supported me, being public about my status. That was a huge thing last year. And so I guess I want to just do a recap, an update a year later, or whatever. and I guess, I don't know if you guys are aware of a YouTube platform show called I'm From Driftwood. It's a very popular, they have like millions of views overall. And I just recently recorded an episode with them for their YouTube channel. And it was around like living with HIV. It was actually telling the story about how I decided that I wanted to come out living with HIV and what that process was. So that should be coming out soon. But I mean, I think it's been a positive response. I maintained therapy for a while when I first came out about my status. Now, when I will say that after Corona, when therapy was strictly virtual, I did kind of lax. I think I did one virtual session. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to come back to this because I really enjoy going to my therapist. because he was the therapist that really helped me through being able to be come out with my status. Because, you know, I was just so scared about being... What happened?
I'm probably late on this.
What? Who died?
Screech.
Oh, yeah. I saw that earlier. Shout out to Screech from Saved by the Bell. What's his name? Dustin?
Yeah, Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. He passed away from cancer.
Oh, I didn't even know he had cancer.
Well, I think he just came out about having cancer last week.
Oh, wow.
So they probably was, it was probably already in the stages where they might they wanted to come out with it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that definitely was something that would hit me. Not, Saved by the Bell was not my favorite show by far, but it was a part of my Saturday morning sometimes. You know, like, it's definitely part of my childhood history. I would definitely watch it sometimes just because. So, oh, that's sad, but okay, go ahead.
No, that is sad. Shout out to his family. Yeah. Sending love to, I mean, he's an icon for sure.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Saved by the Bell. What was I saying? I can't even remember.
You talking about the response to for your HIV?
Coming out with HIV, yeah. Coming out with my status,
yeah.
Being HIV positive. It would have been really remarkable in a way that our heels was able, because I think I had to do that to be fearless, to do this kind of work, to be able to talk to other people that maybe is not as fearless yet in their stage, with coming out with their status. So I had to be vulnerable in that sense that I had to show up for them. And, like, somebody got to be the one to do that work. And I was doing that work behind the scenes. I was doing it spiritually. I think I told y'all on the show, you know, I set up my altar. I had, you know, my great-grandmother on the altar, James Baldwin. I was doing affirmations. I was really trying to go there. And it really helped me. And I really kind of set the tone. And then, like I said, therapy. Like, one thing that I think a lot of people don't rely on therapy is when you have, like, milestone moments. Like, therapy doesn't have to be an ongoing, I'm just going to therapy. It could be something that happened to you that you want to go to therapy for that one thing. Or it could be something that you want to do. You like, you might, I don't know, you scared to get on a plane. You know, hey, well, let me see if I can find a therapist that maybe specialize in helping people overcome fears and stuff like that. So I think that's important to kind of highlight that. I specifically was looking for a therapist that I could talk about coming out my status with living HIV. I Googled, search, and actually when I did the intake form, that was on the intake form. Like, listen, don't come to this session acting like you don't know about HIV.
Okay.
Because if you don't, then you should have told me that a long time ago. And so I think Art Hills was able, and shout out to Art Hills, it's back. We had our meeting, our first meeting last week. It's renamed, though. The Art Hills Healing Justice Support Group is now the Southern Arts Collective. And it's still going to highlight people living with mental health conditions or HIV, but a lot of people with, like, the healing justice thing, with, like, you know, what is healing? Some people might be turned off about it. So I'm like, well, it's other ways that we can say healing. You know, Southern Arts Collective. So we've been getting together. What else? Just a lot of, I mean, a lot has happened. So I know me and Emerson, we were going to talk about, like, the whole thing, like, HIV and COVID-19 and that whole thing. Because I just wrote an article about that. And I think it's very important to stress that, like, yes, we're talking about HIV, living with HIV, but it's really when we talk about, like, Black public health and Black medical mistrust, we're just talking about any chronic disease that people have to live with, or anything, any chronic disease that's plaguing the Black community. You know, why are Black women the number one leader of heart disease? Like, how? Why? You know?
Well, I just, okay. It's funny that we talk about that because, okay, so it's this lady on my YouTube page. I don't necessarily follow her, but, you know, YouTube just suggests people to you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, you might like this. They're kind of like Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, I think it was right around Christmas time. And if I'll stop in what I'm saying, it's because I'm trying to look for the lady, but not that y'all going to look her up anyway, but I kind of just want to give props where props is due. I just want to say some random lady, because maybe y'all do want to go and, you know, send her some support. But one day, it was right after Christmas, a video just came up, like, my husband died. My husband passed away. And I'm like, what? And, you know, negative videos like that normally does get more views.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't like to do that, but I'm just like, she just looks so distraught. And it was right after Christmas. I'm like, well, what happened? So I open it up and she like, my husband just died. And I don't know what, I don't know what to do. Like, my husband just died. He just randomly just died. And I don't know what happened. He was just fine. So, when people say stuff like that, I'm like, well, let me go find. She's like, he died the day after Christmas. Right the day after Christmas, we was just, opening up gifts and everything like that. And we went to the store and we took back stuff to the store and everything was just fine. And then he just said he had heartburn and 30 minutes later, he was dead. And I'm like,
oh my God.
So I'm like, what? Her name is Love Miss Brooks. And, so I'm just sitting there looking like, well, what happened? And she was just so devastated. I felt so bad because I went to her Instagram page and I literally saw her. She was cuddling with her husband. She had took a picture on Christmas, cuddling with her husband. He looked normal to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't look like he was any type of distress or anything like that. So I just kind of want to get out some background on the story. So, we didn't know at the time when I watched that, we didn't know what had, they just said he pretty much kind of like had a heart attack or whatever. So, she did a video recently, and she was like, I got the results back from my husband's cause of death. And I'm like, so I'm going to look at it. I'm like, oh, well, what happened? So she said that her husband had a heart disease that was undetected. It was a heart disease that was kind of hereditary, but when you go to the doctor, they don't test it. Pretty much, he had a buildup, like plaque buildup in his arteries that was stopping blood from getting to the heart. And I guess all of a sudden it's something that it's almost like a silent killer. It can just kind of sneak up on you and kill you. And I'm just, I'm sitting there like, and she was like, he has been doing things to change his diet. He's trying to eat clean and he was doing all these things. And I was like, that just went undetectable like that. I mean, even from a physical, like he went and got his physicals and stuff like that. And that wasn't something that they was able to track. So, I'm like, well, because heart disease does run in my family. My grandmother passed away at 44. She had a heart attack. So I'm like, well, it could be hereditary for me, too. A lot of stuff can be hereditary for me. But so I'm trying to find a holistic way to fix that. I'm like, don't tell me no medicine. I'm not trying to do no Prilosec. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, Lord. Over the counter.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
No, thank you. So I first look in, and first thing that comes up, I told you about this, when you search for certain stuff, all this doctor-recommended stuff comes up, and I'm not, listen, this is going to be controversial what I'm saying, but this is just how I feel. I don't give a fuck. All this doctor stuff is coming up from these doctor, healthline.com was the first one thing came up, and it said eat more meat and dairy. And I'm like, that don't sound right. Okay. So I'm going down. I'm like, oh, what do I got to do? I finally found a holistic one. And they was like, spinach and turmeric and watermelon. And I'm like, okay, that's more my speed. I just maybe add some broccoli to my smoothie and maybe take a couple of more cold pressed juices, my turmeric love juices. That's more my speed.
Right.
But my whole point of me saying that is, how many other people out here that are black who have walking around here with heart diseases and they're just not detected? They can't. They don't even know how to find it or if it's there or not. You just go to the doctor, you think you're fine, but you walking around with a disease and you don't know.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that extra checkup either. It's recorded. It is documented. It's scientifically proven that, what they call it, racism is a public health crisis. Because one of the issues is they're not even going to do the test that you need done. I was watching an episode of Grey's Anatomy, and I have my own personal testimony about this, but I was watching an episode of Grey's Anatomy, and since you were talking about heart attack, and one of the main black doctor, Bailey, she went to another doctor. She was dropping her son off. She was with her husband. She started to have chest pain. So she didn't go to her hospital. She went to the hospital down the street. And she walked in. The lady was treating her like shit. The white receptionist, right? So that's when we talk about the stigma or the racial injustices that happen in the medical world. It don't just start with the doctor. It starts when you walk into a doctor's office or when you walk into the hospital and they see that you're black. And so they saw, she was black and she was just talking to her like she was just shit. She was like, excuse me, you're about to have me jump across this counter. I am a chief, surgeon at the best hospital in this country. So I'm going to need you to treat me like that. Because she was already treating like, what are you here for? How can I help you?
Oh,
type of
no.
thing. Mm-hmm. Because, dismissing, the black body.
Yeah, okay.
And then so she finally gets where she has she meets with the doctor. And she's telling the doctor, I think I had a heart attack. And he was like, oh, well, no, you didn't have a heart attack. She was like, well, yes, I did. I need you to do, you know, the test. And he was like, well, no, we don't order that test. You're just being dramatic. You know, and she like, well, no, I had a heart attack. And he wasn't paying her no attention. He just refused to do the test. And, you know, and she's a doctor. And this is fictitious, but this is just shows you how it goes, because it reminded me of that black lady who died of COVID, remember?
Yeah, right.
And so
that's what I was trying to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a doctor too, right?
She was a doctor too.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally didn't. So she ended up calling her black colleague at the hospital she worked at, you know, Grace, Seattle Grace, or I forgot what it is. Yeah, Seattle Grace or Grace Sloan Memorial. They changed their name in like season 6.
Oh.
But anyway, to make a long story short, she called her colleague, the black cardio surgeon from her hospital, to come to the hospital she was at. She didn't want to alarm all her people at her hospital about her condition.
Yeah.
So anyway, before the black lady can come, she ended up having another heart attack.
Oh.
And the black lady was like, she is having a heart attack, da 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 da. Why didn't you do the test? And he was like, well, I didn't think she needed the test. You know, so she ended up being in the hospital for all these days, and she told the damn white man that she was having a heart attack.
Right.
But he didn't want to listen to her. He thought she was being dramatic. So story number two about that. So this is really the story around like medical mistrust and stuff like that. You know, remember with the Thanksgiving, my mom cut her finger.
Mm.
She had cut her finger, and I ended up taking her to an emergency room. The lady was like, she had gave her some numbing pain because she was doing some stitches.
Mm.
So my mom, when she came in and started doing the stitches, she was like, ouch. And the lady was like, well, I gave you some, you know, some numbing pain. That didn't work. She was like, well, it still hurts. She was like, well, it shouldn't hurt. She was like, well, it still hurt. You know, she was like, well, I don't know. I can't give you any more. I gave you the dosage that we give. You know, basically, like, if you're trying to get high off, you're not... I'm not giving you any more.
Oh.
So she ended up sewing, like, stitching my mom's finger. And then it did, eventually she gave her some more. But she didn't, you know, she was acting like she was guilty of something for saying that she was in pain. To find out, she had another cut in her finger and her nail that the doctor didn't even catch. So when her finger healed, weeks later, you can see a cut going down her nail, going through her hand that didn't even get stitched up. So it wasn't even. So she was worried about the one cut that she saw,
right.
But it was another cut that she didn't see. So that's why she was hurting, because she didn't stick the needle in that part of her finger.
Okay, wow.
And so, you know, and she was treating my mom, and she was looking at me like, "Is she okay?" And I'm just like, "Well, she said she had pain." But she was acting like she was lying. That was what I was getting from what she was like.
Girl. But they don't. How are you gonna do that at the hospital when you go to the dentist and they do stuff in your mouth and they'll say that they can give you more, like, well, let me know if you feel anything, because if you need some more, you know, numbing or whatever, if I gotta give you some more, I can give you some more. So my thing is, if they can do that for your mouth, you mean, bitch, you're not gonna give me that for my damn finger?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm saying a dentist. Your bitch, you were actually at the damn hospital.
Emergency room.
Your emergency room.
She was apprehensive that she was just giving it, like. And then, did you find a lady, the black doctor?
I'm getting caught up in other stuff, but I'm trying to listen too. But no, she's so far down because this happened this happened before Christmas.
Yeah, probably right before Christmas.
This happened so far down, but I'm still looking. But anyway, I'm still listening.
But yeah, even me in my personal journey, like, you know, I was having pains, and you know, I was trying to figure out what was going on, and you know, for a while. And I basically have to, you know, went on a fast. You know, I mean, these doctors do not know everything. And then sometimes I feel like they don't want to treat us. Like, you ever thought about that? Like, when you go to the doctor, they're white. Are they really treating you? Like, are they giving you everything they know about what could be happening to you?
No, I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I don't think that they do everything that they can to treat you. And I think they, hello, my mom passed away from cancer. Do I feel like she got the best treatment? Absolutely fucking not.
But, you don't? Like, what happened? Like, what do you think? Like, anything?
Well, nothing. I don't think it was malpractice per se. I mean, she was on, like, chemo, and they was giving her the chemo pills where she didn't have to necessarily go sit in chemo, so which they were working, but then it just stopped working. And then when it stopped working, it was like, oh, well, we don't know what else to do. We don't know what else it can be. And, like, sometimes I'll be thinking, like, had we went the holistic route, would it have maybe been different? Like, Because there was somebody that it was, she actually did have somebody who was saying she should go holistic, but she couldn't. She didn't want to eat none of the food, which I understand. It is nasty. But, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I think about that. Like, and then she was at, what's the hospital? The one downtown. It wasn't DMC. It was hospitals downtown. And I don't know.
I think it was Henry Ford.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was Henry Ford. And, you know, because she didn't have, like, the best insurance. I felt like, I think that was part of it, too. Like, she didn't have the best insurance. So, they were just doing based off of the money that they would get from doing what they was going to do for her. They was just doing that. And if it didn't work, it was, oh, well, type of a thing. That's how I kind of felt. I felt like, you know, she was like, well, they're doing tests and they're doing this thing. And I think probably did. But, I mean, there are some people who do total turnarounds with cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, they totally go into remission. They do total turnarounds. I don't think it's always just the luck of the draw type of situation. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's because of the access to care that they have, or sometimes they don't even go that route. Like those people who go to those healing camps where they do everything holistic. I've heard so many people say, I went to a healing camp. I had cancer. I went to a healing camp and I got cured. Like it's nothing. Like I went to, I did that and I'm over it now. Mm-hmm. So I be thinking sometimes, you know, so that's why I said what I said with the whole Healthline thing and the heart thing. And I was like, I went to go look for the holistic stuff. Mm-hmm. I won't go. And I listened to Dr. Bobby on Instagram, Dr. Holistic. And he been doing some videos about some stuff lately. So, you know, this whole mistrust of the Black community, I'm one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and I definitely believe I'm one of them, like, in a certain way, right? I do take, you know, as a person living with HIV.
And it's so different, and I want to be disrespectful when I say, because it's different. You do have to do it. For certain people, But
that's the point that I was about to make. Like, that's what they tell me. And I'm still here. I'm fine based on what they say. And so I take these pills every day. But it's not that when I go into the doctor's office that I haven't felt like they treat me like, you know, you go to the infectious disease department, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, well, why is it that, you know, we talk about, because, you know, a lot of what HIV and the medical mistrust is that many people feel like they have not gotten a cure is because a lot of the money that has been made pharmaceutically, you know, on a pharmaceutical tip, for HIV medicines, because it's like all these medicines, because like now HIV medicines are popping up on TV. It's be commercials. I'm like, well, I ain't even heard of that one. Like, it's so many HIV regimens out right now. So many. And they just came out with the 30-day shot now. You can get the injection. And so they said that might end up being where you can go every 3 months. But they were just saying, again, like, you're coming up with a solution that is making the person living with HIV have to go to the doctor all the time. Because that's, you know, we in this situation where we already got to get our tests, you know, blood drawn. We already got to take these pills once a day. So, yeah, that's one thing. So now you're giving an alternative, but now I got to go to the doctor even more. It's just like, well, girl, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
But I do believe that it's been systematically set up where they haven't, the advancement of HIV hasn't been where it should be. Well, we're just now getting there. And I just don't feel like that. Like, y'all was able to come up with a COVID thing so fast, allegedly, you know, because who knows how this might turn out. But y'all, and I'm saying the HIV strain is the same thing as the COVID strain. But it just, to me, like, I feel like the lack has been that it disproportionately affects Black people. And that's why, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, I'm just so curious as to why they don't, white people or white people in the medical industrial complex doesn't really give me more information how these chronic diseases become a Black person's problem. And I know that it's probably not a single thing that they can say, but at least acknowledge the, you know, the quality of care that you are not giving to Black people. At least acknowledge the social injustices that happen amongst, you know, clinics and doctors and the racism and the nurses and the front desk, you know, people. Acknowledge the fact that y'all trying to figure out why do Black mothers in Texas lead the mortality rate for infants in Texas. That is obvious. That is obvious.
Yeah.
How can you tell me that Black women are dying from having babies more so than white women in the state of Texas? How is that even a thing? How is that my skin color determines whether I can give birth to a baby and live or die.
Like some made up shit to me.
That is some systematically made up shit, because they don't want, it can't be just one thing they do. It has to be a whole system designed to have health outcomes like that.
Well, yeah.
But they don't want to say that. Like, you want to ask me, send me an article asking me, well, how can we, you know, continue to address HIV in Black Texas? Well, first of all, address this, that stop making HIV, the Black people, the face of HIV, like we did something to get HIV. Okay. All of a sudden, Black people, no, talk about the disparities as to why Black people became the face of HIV. Not that we just so nastier, or we're more deserving, or our lifestyle that we live has, you know, sustained us to be the number one new, you know, infectious, you know, diagnosis of HIV, or Black women. Oh, now it's a DL thing. No, let's not go there. You know, no, what I'm saying?
Because last I heard, and I don't know, it could be some, not, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Last I heard, and this was probably last year, but it was an Anglo man going around purposely having sex with Black women. He was HIV positive, and he was intentionally using it to weaponize Black women. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the only one. Now, it could be just because of who I got the information from that they pulled this up, but
pro-Black community.
Yeah, right. But even still, like, this was like a known thing, and I've heard of more than one from two different pro-Black people. And I mean, so how is this our thing? But then this Anglo man is walking around just giving it, I guess, if you will, giving it away. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, but they're not. And they're not going to talk about the idea that why black people is stigmatized when it comes to HIV.
Yeah.
Because y'all made it the face. Like, trying to get Black people on HIV regimen doesn't mean putting a bunch of black faces on the HIV pill posters. I mean, visibility is one thing.
Yeah.
When you acknowledge the why. My whole life, since I've been a young queen, a gay boy, has always been, in my lifetime, that HIV was a Black thing. It's always been. So it's heavily stigmatized.
Yeah.
But it's not no truth as to why. The reason why Black people are more able to get it, because less treatment, less access, the stigma. I mean, all of those things. It's not that more Black people are doing things to get HIV.
Yeah, in the 80s, when it was a big thing, it wasn't only Black people. It was a whole lot of people of other races that was passing away from, I guess at that stage it would be AIDS. Mm-hmm. Or HIV, I'll just say. It wasn't just Black people. Like, if you look at those old documentaries, like Studio 54 and stuff like that, they were saying people just randomly started passing. They were talking about other
white people.
They were not talking about Black people.
Yeah, it's health disparities.
Yeah,
it's racism. All of this stuff, like,
well, just like COVID.
COVID,
a disease that came from China ended up being a Black people problem.
Right. And all the headlines, all of a sudden, like, what was it, like, in May, June? Yeah. All of a sudden, Black people are the number one.
Black people are more impacted.
Black people are dying more than any other race. I'm like, what the fuck?
Which is some bullshit. And just like that special that we were just talking about offline with Tyler Perry and that doctor, you know, they're trying to have the special just for Black people. And they have all these Black people just showing, oh, such and such did the vaccine. Such and such, they did the vaccine. They say, I think it's even too soon for me to say something that somebody said, or something pro-Black I was watching the other day. And I was like, y'all going a little too far. They were talking about Cicely Tyson. They was like, we don't know if she took the vaccine. I'm like, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. I was just like, y'all are really trying it. But don't do that with her. But
shout out to Cicely Tyson.
Shout out to Cicely Tyson, and may she rest.
May she rest in peace. We honor you, Black woman.
Always.
We honor you, Black woman.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was a disrespectful thing to her. It was really, they just like, but, you know, this whole thing where everybody getting these vaccines. And, you know, again, I'm not, whether you get it or not, that's your business. But but my problem with that is, I was going to try to say that I'm done, mm-hmm. is, you know, how certain Black people took that. Like, they, but it's, you know, visibility. And I guess if you watch something enough, you're going to start believing it. Where they just like, I feel like now they, certain black people feel like this is our disease. Like, no, this is not a black people disease. Mm-hmm. That people need to be afraid of us, or like if we come around, they need to be worried about. Girl, but I feel like some people believe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, now that you say that, though, that framing of it is, because I thought it was just to get more black people to get vaccinated, and because a lot of black people have medical mistrust around it.
Well, no, I, that was
but the point. But again, but I, like you said, though, the way they frame that, though, it is as if it's a black person's issue, because they didn't really talk about the why. And that's the, kind of the whole point that I want to even talk about this whole episode, the why that black people have medical mistrust.
Yeah.
It's time for y'all to start having that conversation. It's almost like the conversation around reparations, right? Like, when they always thought, black people ain't the only one being oppressed. Kiki, why? Black people wasn't the only one. Yes, but black people are the only one that's still getting murdered and hasn't had any reparations or any... I mean, yeah, our civil rights, yeah, y'all gave us that, but y'all take it away every time a conservative person come in there. Our civil rights is on, you know, on the chopping block. So that ain't saying much that we got civil rights or whatever, this and that. Our rights as for slavery or repayment for slavery have not been done. And that just, they don't like that conversation. I think Joe Biden might be the only one that's really even trying to have that conversation. But again, he got to say that on thin ice, right? It's too taboo to say. And I think medically it's too taboo to say that. They always bring up Tuskegee, and Tuskegee is what they got caught. That hasn't, in my mind, I know that hasn't even touched the surface of all the clinical trials and missed errors and all of that that has probably been done on black people that we don't have a clue, like a single clue about. But that's enough. That takes more than just we apologize or, you know, acknowledgement. No, you need to acknowledge about the whole system. Poor people should be able to have the same quality of healthcare as anybody. Like, healthcare should not be dependent on how much money you make. And then all of it go back to race. All of it go back to racism, about opportunity, about legacies, about, you know, like, you know, why is it more black people impoverished, right? So all of these go into all the sectors of social service. We know that we can say racism is one, is influencing all of those things. But I feel like when it comes to like medical mistrust, and I guess why it's on a, why it's really bothering me and my homegirls right now because of the COVID thing, like with people trying to backlash black people who might not want to take it. And I don't think they should do that. I think, and we might have talked about it on here before, I think we should let people educate themselves as much as they want to or whatever they believe.
Yeah,
because why are you going to just believe the doctors? Like, honestly, why would you just believe a white person? How don't you know? How do I? How I don't know if you're racist or not?
Right.
How?
Right. And I'm just... Now, I
and it's just because you put a black person on there talking Ebonics, that's a doctor, to me, that's making it even worse. Because now you don't respect me.
Yeah, no, they think we dumb as fuck.
You gonna go on BET and do this. Then you get, first of all, you get Tyler Perry. And it's not that, you know, he took his time and put his name on something. He probably put some money behind that to educate the black community. Again, you know, I'm trying to be nice about it. Maybe it's going to help for some. But when I look at that, you get Madea, and then you get, like, this Ebonic-speaking doctor. And again, I might like her. She could be cool.
She could be.
It's probably with all in good intentions, but it was still on the backbone of some coonery. Like, it just felt really, it's not sitting right with me. Like, why do our state of address around a COVID union, I mean, COVID vaccine has to be presented by Tyler Perry? And then this sister girl, doctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, why can't we get a more... And I said Dr. Fauci doesn't speak, you know, to the black people, but I feel like
speaks to the black people.
It could have been a little presented in a different way. But I think that's how they look at us. They feel like that's what it... They don't want to respect us, or they don't want to take accountability for the systems that continue to oppress black people to death. And the medical industrial complex is one. We are designed to die in the medical industrial complex. There's nowhere in there from the front desk to your insurance car to your quality of life to the air you breathe. Like, there's nothing in the system at all designed for us to live long and, you know, and for most of us to live like that. You know, some of us can get it, some, you know, but it ain't designed that way. It's just not.
Well, and I think, well, I'm speaking, this is me, only me,
Eric. Going a holistic this, approach?
Well, yeah, but I'm not speaking for Tyreek or what works for us. I'm not speaking for, and this is just me speaking on my own. And this is why I think that it's okay for certain people, if you do want to educate yourself and you do want to maybe go, you know, talk to some people who are holistic, like doctors or holistic nutritionists, they do exist. They do have private groups that you can join, or memberships that you can join where you can be educated and they can tell you what you need to do. I think because, you know, just like Kiki, I was talking about Kiki, not Kitara Wyatt, I'm talking about Kiki Palmer, and her recently figuring out, her recently diagnosing herself for the issue she had with her skin. And she had to do her own research and find the information, all this kind of stuff, because the doctor wasn't giving her the right information. So I'm not saying don't trust doctors, but I think that it's okay if you do educate. I think it is okay for you to educate yourself, and if you choose to make the decision, like, okay, I'm just going. Because one of the things that one of my pro-black people will be saying is, he was like, you know, why aren't they just educating us on what we can do to build our immune systems? Mm. Even though another one of my pro-black people just said on Sunday that she got COVID and she was taking every vitamin under the sun. But her thing was, she was like, we're dealing with something different here with this COVID. And I'm like, oh, okay. But she's like, I'm fine. She's like, I'll get over it. But, you know, she just was around. Well, and the thing, in the end, it's just so weird. Like, this whole thing, because the thing about her was, she went and got tested and she was negative. She was around somebody else and they had got tested and they were negative. And then she went and got tested and she came back negative. And then she ended up getting it. And then, of course, where she ended up having the symptoms and she went and got tested and she had it. But then the person that was around her after that, who didn't have it at first, that she was around, went back again and got tested again. And then they all of a sudden had it. So I don't. It's just such a weird thing. I don't know. But so I'm not, my point of me saying that is, even if you are building your immune system, I ain't going to necessarily say, well, I say this, from what Dr. Bobby was saying, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't necessarily get it, but at least your immune system will be built up
and
fight it off.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is, being able to live, because they predict that everybody will get COVID.
Right. Well, and it's ramping up now. Yeah. It seems like everybody now just like, oh, I got it. COVID.
Yeah, a lot of people, because it was quiet for a minute. It was quiet now. Like, everybody.
Another one of YouTubers today said her video title was, I have the symptoms. I'm like, oh, hell no. So it seems like it's being ramped up.
Yeah, my house father got it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, I was talking to him. And so, yeah, it is being ramped up. So, and like Gordon Boyle Edmondson was saying, it's not that, honestly, we have no choice but to rely on medicine in a lot of ways. We just do, right? We're not scientists.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, like what Edmondson said, it's a holistic approach to this thing. We can't just rely. Because first of all, I went to the doctor for some issues, and I still ain't got a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So doctors don't know everything. And, you know, and they know enough to keep us alive. But I think we need to take our own care in our hands in a lot of ways. We can't just rely on one doctor. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. First of all, you want to go to multiple doctors. Because, again, because you don't know who the doctor that you might be getting. And I just feel like the system needs to do its due diligence to black people. They have to. And I don't think if till they do that, it's not going to change. Like, if you can't tell me exactly what are y'all doing that black mothers are dying more than white mothers? Like, y'all need to come out and say that. Y'all racist. I mean, they did say racism is a public health crisis. Mm-hmm. Then what y'all doing about it? Like, what are y'all doing about it? Actually declaring that as a statement, but then black people still dying?
Well, yeah, because because my understanding is, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I don't even normally be talking this stuff, but, you know, money makes the USA, the world go round.
Yeah.
And, you know,
people got to be sick.
people have to be sick. And COVID, when you have COVID, they get even more money. Like, and all the, like, billions of dollars. Like, what is it? Pfizer is one of the companies with the, I think it's one of the companies with the vaccine. I think they say how much money they made the year before. It was, like, something like 9-something million or something like that. It wasn't that much. But, like, this, or, like, 2019. And in 2020, they made, like, 20, like, they're projected to make, like, 20, like, almost 20 million, or it might be, it's not 20 billion. I think it's, it might be 20 billion. Actually, it has to be, because now with Biden ordering all that, he ordering 200, all the doses is he about to order. So, I think, you know, at the end of the day, just like at a job, my point of what I'm trying to say is, we just be numbers.
I just got my email. Hello, Tyree. You are eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine with Austin Public Health. Please go to the website to schedule an appointment.
Oh, wow.
So I finally, I made it on the list to be able to schedule my appointment. You know, I'm still deciding what I'm going to do with that. I think I'm going to go get the vaccine. I've always been pro-vaccine, but since I'm leaving, I have to make sure that, because I think you have to take it 28 days later. So I don't know. So, yeah, anyway, that becomes a dilemma. But, yeah, so I don't know, y'all. Like, I think the holistic, like, because I guess what I'm saying is I've been preaching about holistic care for mental wellness for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm really saying, and it's always been like that for me. Like, my grandmother was like that. She has been vitamin taking, holistic person her whole life. She's always been that way. And I think we need to start honoring those people and honoring the other kind of health instead of the Western medical world. We need to really, you know, the Eastern people are living too, y'all.
They are.
And they don't do all Western medicine.
No. And they're like, you know, they're right. And they're trying to figure out, because, you know, they're trying to figure out why they still trying to, they're baffled as to why in Africa they not having the same issues with COVID that we are. They still can't figure that out. And they're really trying to find out. So, you know.
Oh, you know what that means.
Right. Okay. They're
somewhere over there.
Okay.
Doing something.
Okay.
Poking.
Yeah. But it ain't happening. So they like, well, we're just perplexed. I'm sure y'all are. But listen, I'm not trying to say don't. I want to be clear. I think you have to make this decision just works best for you. I'm not saying holistic work for everybody. But I don't think there's anything wrong. But I will say this, and I don't give a what anybody say. I feel like God put stuff on this earth that's supposed to work. And y'all can say, well, yeah, he put the doctors. But I think he put fruits and vegetables and things here for us, too, to help us survive. I mean, ain't no horses and lions or whatever. They can get stuff, too. But, I mean, they survive. You know, they can live long lives for whatever they live off of, from the stuff from the earth, even though they do sometimes eat each other. But, but they still manage to make it work but think about cows and stuff. I mean, outside of the drugs that, you know, we be trying to give them as humans to have them on farms. But I'm saying when they just out in the wild, they figure out what's on earth that God put here for them to eat and survive. So, I'm not saying don't go to doctors, but I just think that...
Yeah, go to the doctor, but you have to have options, choices. Well, don't just take one.
Well, right, but then you also, you have to take care of yourself. You have to put things in your body that is... You have to nurture your body. Your body, I mean, just going to the doctor is not going to nurture your body. You have to put things in your body that's going to keep you juicy. And we know what foods and stuff have... I mean... We know that McDonald's, and I'm not saying don't eat McDonald's. I'm just saying we know those foods are not
built. McDonald's is nasty as fuck.
So
nasty. Like, every time I even sneak and eat McDonald's, I would, like, want to barf. This is so not good. Like, how is it so not good?
I don't know. And it's, right, and that's not nutritious for us. It doesn't offer us anything except food, but it doesn't do anything to keep us juicy. So that's all I'm saying. You go to the doctor, but then you want to go to the doctor and them not be able to have nothing to kind of feed off of. Like, oh, you have high cholesterol, and like, and they want to start shoving
high blood pressure.
Yeah, they want to start shoving all this shit down your throat.
Let me cut you open.
Yeah.
You got a clock right there. We're going to do a surgery and then don't make it off the table.
Right. So that's all I'm saying. Just, you know, preventative, trying to get things, nutrients and nutrition and things in your body that can help keep, you know, and help you fight off stuff naturally. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And all my people living with HIV, you know, continue.
Oh, that's a different story.
No, continue. But all they have to live that like that. Yeah. You have to take care of your body when you are immune compromised. And, you know, if you can live, thrive, you like take your medicine. But like what Edmondson said, like it's not just that. It's not just keeping your T-cell, you know, count low. Like that's not just it either. Well, not low, but you know, it's not just about your TD4 count and your T-cell count. It's about what you put in your body.
Yeah.
It's about, are you exercising? Mm-hmm. It's about your spiritual and mental wellness and all of those things. Mm-hmm. I went to the doctor. I'm still undetectable.
Yay.
I still go. Yay. I'm still trying to think about these new medicines. Like, do I move to the injection? Like, because I'm still on Somtuza, which is an older, it's not older, it's not like Truvada, it's after them, but they've come out with so many other medications since then. Like, so this whole idea where people body become, what you call that, resistance to this medicine, it's going to be hard, it's way harder now because there's so many different medicines. Like, all of them is shoving HIV medicines off the counter. So just before we wrap it up, I was just thinking about our own issues with already living with, you know, a chronic illness through a pandemic, right? So you have to do extra. Like, don't not take it for granted. And, you know, and just, like, we're not pressuring. I'm not COVID shaming nobody because I don't want nobody COVID shaming me.
Yeah.
But, like, just be mindful is what I'm trying to suggest because we don't know what it is. They're saying one thing and it's evolving every day.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. That's why, you know, I talk my shit, but, you know, like, I was thinking the other day, but like, I'll be staying my ass in the house, and I would still get anxiety if I went to a place and it was too many people. I'm like, this is too many people. Like, mm-hmm. I would freak out just like anybody else, regardless of the shit I talk, because I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So make smart decisions. And you know, and just and the stigma of HIV, right? Don't allow the trauma, the re-traumatization of what's going on with COVID to sneak up on you. Because the idea that, you know, we already live with HIV, now we got to worry about black folks living with COVID. So now we're going to be like HIV, COVID, black man. Like, that's a lot, live with HIV and COVID. Can you imagine the burden on our bodies? So, but also the burden on us, the stigma of it all, the mental part of like trying to navigate through that. So just be mindful of that. Definitely do your research, as Emerson would say, and look at more holistic approaches. Take your medicine. Yes. And if you know somebody that is not taking their health in consideration around HIV or anything, like just talk about it. You know, I think that's always good to have these conversations. But I just wanted to give y'all an update. I'm doing well. I'm still thriving. Our Heels is still going on. I'm just been on Fox Soul and a lot of different platforms talking about living with HIV. I want to continue to use my story to be a voice for our community because we deserve to be healthy. We deserve to feel loved, to be seen, and to be heard. You know, we're done with being the face of HIV and this horrific pandemic, you know, of 30 years that we are the old sorry black folks that get HIV.
No.
Keep your campaign to yourself until you apologize to the black community for allowing HIV to disproportionately affect us and impact us the way it has. And I want a public apology. Wow. And some stuff behind it.
Well, I don't know. Well, now, I mean, that is the right thing to do. Mm. But there are people currently out here who are still believing in population control. Somebody is a popular CEO of a computer company. And that's some serious shit.
That's y'all some real shit.
Y'all need to seriously think about that. I mean, but not to negate anything Tariq just said. Yes, definitely take care of yourself, take care of your bodies and things like that. But you're talking about the apology part. I don't know because he's buying farms.
They purposely doing it. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So that's where the demand is.
So take care of yourself. Do what you got to do with that, but then make sure you take care of yourself. And I'm just saying there's nothing wrong if you just have a couple of extra questions.
Yes.
Don't let nobody make you feel bad about that. Regardless of whatever situation, and you're taking care of yourself and you like Tariq, you're taking care of yourself and you're taking your med, which you should be doing. And you're taking care of your body even outside of that, maybe, you know, making, you know, putting some nutrients in your body, you know, natural nutrients in your body and that kind of stuff. Da, 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 da. You know, I think that's great. But, you know, as far as what you're saying, if they want an apology, I guess my point of what I'm trying to say is I think they're still at doing horrible things to us. So watch your back.
Watch your back. All right. Well, how can I reach you, Emerson?
You can reach me at essencestyle.com. That is my digital home. Or you can come and hang out with me on Instagram, because that's where I still hang out. Oh, essencestyle.com.
Yes, and I'm MrTelltales.com. Mr. Telltales on IG. Mr. Telltales on Twitter. I can have a Mr. Telltales on Facebook, but I still only be on Tyreek Games. But that's how you can get me. Hit us up on what works for us on all social media platforms. Again, this episode is in honor of National HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. Support your folks. If you know someone living with HIV, show up. Any chronic illnesses, but this is for HIV. Love y'all. Holla.
Holla.
But they really lying. I'm feeling like Andre the Giant because I'm so colossal. Ain't no rollie on my wrist. I just rock a fossil. Carry the torch. I'ma hold it down.